With over 100,000 Artsakh refugees now in Armenia, a real need for everyday items like warm boots, coats, and clothes became a need almost overnight. As the diaspora figured out how to mobilize help, one Armenian parish in Greater Boston got to work, rallying support, collecting items, and personally distributing to over 1,000 refugees in Armenia is no small feat. Here is how they accomplished it. Parilois, my name is Sophia, and I'm joined by my co-host, Peter Abadjian, Executive Director of the Pados Foundation, and two very special guests, Der Vasken and Yeretskin Arpi Kuzuyan of Holy Trinity Armenian Church of Greater Boston. Parilois.
Parilois.
So happy to have you both on with us today. And if you're okay with it, we're just going to go ahead and jump right into the questions.
Go ahead. It's our honor.
So how was the effort started to not only collect items for Artsakh, but then to also go and distribute them in person?
It's a good question. We went as a parish to Armenia, I think for the sixth time on a pilgrimage in September and October. And there we went as witnesses to what's going to happen, what happened in Armenia, and came back not realizing we were going to see so much that we did. For example, we saw many open prayer services with the Artsakh families from Holy Echmiadzin and different parts of Yerevan. We came back very impressed, but very, very touched by that. We saw families huddling together, crying teenagers on their mothers wiping white tears. We came back very touched by what was going on, what had happened. So when I came back to Cambridge, what I generally do is I talk to our youth on that following Sunday, which is about 2 days later on our return. And I said to them, we have to do something more than we have been doing to help these people. We live in a beautiful church. We have this beautiful house of worship, and we have so much in our own personal lives that we have to give back. And so I asked them to join in creating a clothing drive for the church. And up to this point, during Badrak, my mind was going, what else can we do? What else can we do? And I couldn't come up with the answer until I stood in front of the children. And there I said to them, I don't know where it came from. I guess I do know where it came from. Let's do a clothing drive and help these families. And if we have excess that we can't use at home, it needs to go to Armenia to help these people. But it has to be something you would still wear yourself. You know, so that's the start of where all this came from. It was just an idea. Unfortunately, that's the only part I contributed to it. From that point forward, I handed it to Yeretskin. I mentioned to the families that if we do this correctly, I'm going to ask my Yeretskin to come with me to Armenia. That's a part that we laugh at because I think I just sprung it on her that day.
I think it's important to know that in that moment, I'm the Sunday school superintendent, so I was sitting with the children, and in that moment, sort of everyone looked at me to see if I knew what he was saying. And I was clearly as surprised as everyone else because that it was divine intervention. He announced it. And he said, we're going to do a clothing drive and I would like Yeretskin to come with me. And all eyes in the congregation turned to me. And it was very clear from the expression on my face that that was the first I was hearing of it. But one thing that we jokingly said a lot while we were in Armenia is we would quote Deadhead and we would say, let's have a clothing drive, he says. It'd be easy, he says. And it was anything but. But from there, like he said, I kind of, he dropped that seed or he dropped that bomb, whatever you want to call it. And from there, we just, there were so many hands involved.
It took off. Between Yeretskin taking the ball and running it with it, she contacted Shake contacted Peter, and it just kept going. And without their collective efforts, it wouldn't have happened. But one thing about that, about the clothing drive, it as a church, it was tied into our ministry, right? And that's important to remember. And I reiterated this last Sunday, we spoke to our own parishioners, that it's following the words of Christ, right? That when you see someone who's hungry, you give them something to eat. When you see someone who's thirsty, you give them something to drink. When you see someone who's naked or needs clothing or heat, you give them what they need, right? So this is what we did as a parish. We lived the words of the gospel according to St. Matthew's gospel, and we went forward. And we did it personally. It's not something we're going to box up and send over there. We were going to actually go and distribute it by hand to the families, from our families here in Cambridge to the families in displaced families of Artsakh.
Can you tell us a little bit more about like the logistics and, you know, how long were you collecting clothes for and what was that initial interest and did it last for weeks and weeks or what did that look like, that timeline?
It really was overwhelming. That's really kind of a word that we use repeatedly while we talked about it, because the level of support was unexpected. You know, he announced it on October 15th. And on that Wednesday, a few days later, we kind of set up a makeshift collection area. And we thought, okay, you know, we'll get some items. By the following Sunday, a week after he announced it, we had already received hundreds of bags. And fortunately, we have a building next to our parish, next to our church and next to our cultural center. And it's just sort of like this empty building. And that became our staging area. And so every morning, you know, we'd show up and we'd see there were more bags and more bags and more bags. And eventually those bags would come inside into Shia Hall, which is our staging area. At one point, they were pretty much floor to ceiling. And we think that when all is said and done, at least 1,500 bags, if not more, maybe 2,000, maybe 2,500. We lost track after a point. And so we got word out to the community through our weekly e-news. I think it might have been put in some of the local Armenian, the other churches had listed it. But we had people delivering things from Springfield, Connecticut. I believe someone mailed something to us from California, because word got out and people were desperate to help. So it really wasn't hard to garner support for this endeavor because everyone felt helpless and everyone wanted to find a way to help. So as clothes came in, you know, we wanted things to be in the best possible condition. There were a lot of it was new, and we had to open every single bag, sort every item, categorize it by, you know, men, women, children, shoes, blankets. And we very quickly sort of, it was a very organic process. Like as we went through it, we kind of along the way just kept tweaking things. And as Peter knows very well, the process kept changing on us. At first it was, you know, just put things in a box and send them over. And then by the time all was said and done, we found out we had to itemize everything, writing down like, you know, men's clothing or men's pants, the quantity in the box, the countries of origin, and really keeping an inventory. And the inventory had to match each box perfectly because they had to get through customs. So I know that we sweat a lot in those final details. But interestingly, this was something that people, we had no trouble finding volunteers. We had over 75 volunteers. I believe we calculated like more than 475 volunteer hours to get this all done. And so we started, let's say we started October 16th. By November 5th, we had to cut things off because we just couldn't manage the volume. It was just too much. So we were overwhelmed, but absolutely humbled and really fulfilled to see how much the community wanted to help. And we had volunteers from everywhere, every age. I think our youngest donor was a 2-year-old who brought a box of shoes in her hands. And we had volunteers probably from the age of 6 to 96. So it was really a community effort. And honestly, one of the easiest volunteer opportunities ever.
That's incredible.
That really is just incredible. I want to clarify something that you said that I actually didn't know, and if I understood it correctly. So Holy Trinity, you were leading a mission from your parish at the same time that the exodus from Artsakh occurred, right? Wow. So you guys,
later,
Wow. I didn't realize you were there right at the very beginning. And that kind of, you know, parlays into the question I wanted to ask you. You know, I mean, look, we spent a couple of weeks together, you know, distributing items directly to, you know, refugees from Artsakh and you know, talking to them as we were, you know, distributing stuff, observing what was happening. And there was a, you know, seemingly an endless line of people coming in and you know, we were frontline, backline, talking, handing stuff, you know, all this stuff. But, you know, that plus that initial impact that you saw as you know, these refugees were flooding into Armenia from Artsakh. You know, could you speak a little bit about the emotions and the feelings you both had through that process, both, you know, during the mission as well as when you were, you know, there, when we were there all together?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Yazgin wasn't with me on the first trip, on that September-October trip. I had gone with a small group from the parish. And we all came back touched by what we saw. It's not easy to see your brethren crying publicly in en masse, you know, in that happening in front of all the bishops of the church that had gathered and the Catholicos had gathered. It was very challenging for us emotionally to see this, you know, and I noticed our group members went out and kind of sat amongst them from the youngest to the oldest, sat amongst them just to hear their stories. And there was a bonding going on. I think what resonated with me so much was it reminded me of the earthquake when I was a student there in 1988 to 1990, the earthquake of Armenia took place while I was a student in Etchmiadzin. And this was in many ways similar to that whole experience, from the tragedy to the overwhelming response by the greater community and diaspora. And so that's I think pulled at my heartstrings and engaged me in ways that I probably would not have been engaged in had I not had that previous experience.
Well, I know while we were in Armenia, one of the first places we went, we did a day trip to Gumri. That was our first sort of foray into all of this. And honestly, none of this would have been possible without the Paros Foundation, without Peter's assistance and Shaka Derderian. Like, we really, like, Deadhide had the idea. I helped bring it to life, but then Paros and, you know, Paros through Shaka and Peter helped bring it to life in Armenia. And so while we were there, it was our first, I remember it was our first day trip, and we went to Gumri, and it was the first house we went into. And there was, you know, a very, very Gurtavaz, like very educated woman who was the sort of, they had been displaced from Artsakh, and she spoke so beautifully and passionately about what their experience was. But while we were there, she mentioned that her mother was there and she was paralyzed, lying in the room in the back. And I remember, like, as soon as Deadhide heard that, he went over and wanted to go and say, was it okay to pray over this woman? And we all went sort of into the back room, and there was a woman lying there. And the story was that she had been paralyzed for 15 years. And her grandson had to carry her over the border because she couldn't walk. And just hearing their stories and seeing this woman and Deadhide praying over her, we were all extremely emotional. And I remember in that moment thinking, oh my goodness, if this is what it's going to be like, I don't know if I'm going to make it through these 2 weeks. It was just heart-wrenching, beautiful, but heart-wrenching to hear what they had been through. And as our trip progressed, a lot of what we did, there was a lot of busy work, because all those clothes that we had sorted, we would get to a destination only to find that everything had sort of been mixed up in new boxes or bags. And so we had to resort everything. So fortunately, a lot of what we were going through was the busy work of getting things ready. But then when we, you know, once we're ready and we open those doors and we look out and we see the line of people, it was really overwhelming, because these are our people. You know, these are our families, our relatives, and just taking us back, knowing everything we had been through up until this point. There was that feeling of, like, incredible what they've been going through. But then also, honestly, a sense of gratitude that we're able to do something to help them. As small as it might be to give them a bag of new clothes, but also to know that there are people around the world, on the other side of the world, who care for them and love them. It was an opportunity for us to really live out our faith and share that with those people who needed it most in that time.
Oh, that was just amazing. I remember that first family you were speaking about in Gyumri, and I remember what the woman told us. She said that in Stepanakert, after the 2020 war, she was doing locally basically what we were now doing here. And she was, she said, I used to, work with the refugee, people that were displaced from other territories that we gave back to Artsakh, to Azerbaijan. And I was helping them with, finding housing and this and that. And she's like, and now I'm in that situation and others are helping me. That's something I won't forget either. Based on this experience, and forget about, Paro, Shmaros, all that stuff, but based on this engagement that you two led and paved the way for diaspora and families to engage, what advice would you have for others that want to, get something done like this, or, not like this, but just get something done at this level of engagement within your community and with Armenia?
I think one of the reasons there was such an overwhelming response of donations for the clothing drive is because we had said that we personally were going to go and oversee the distribution. So I think a lot of people had the trust, because they know us, they trusted that what they were donating was going to get to where it was supposed to go. So I think, I think as like people of the diaspora who want to help, find a cause that, vet a cause, find that cause that you believe in and support that cause. One of the things that while we were there, we did the clothing distribution, but we discovered that there was a great need for firewood. And so we have, part of our Sunday School's Lenten drive, we did distribute funds while we were there. But when we came home, we said, okay, now here's phase two. We see that there's a need for firewood. And so our community has been raising funds for firewood. And as of now, we've raised $22,000 to donate to the firewood cause. And I think it's, if you sort of find your passion and find a way to turn that passion into a way to help others. I remember after everything that happened on September 19th, I had this feeling of being helpless. And I remember thinking, I'm a really good organizer. I need to find a way to help. I can organize. What can I do to organize? And then 3 weeks later, Deadhead comes home and talks about this clothing drive. And boom, I found my way of helping. There's no way of underestimating the need for money. There you can go and physically help, which really was fulfilling for us, but there's such a need for money and so many different ways that money can help them. I know the Paros Foundation is doing a lot. There are so many organizations that are helping our people. So it's not that there's a lack of opportunity, but you need to do a little bit of research to what feels comfortable for you and find a way to give. I really think that without the help of the diaspora, I don't know what the future will be. And so we need to continue to do what we're called to do, and that's to help our fellow brothers and sisters.
Yeah, I think I'll pick up on it. There was an image that kept popping in my head throughout this entire 2 weeks we were over there, Peter, that it's as where I sit in a community is important to share. How do you engage the community? The community, being the greater Armenian diaspora community, they always think, well, what can we do to change things? And we can't do something to change the world completely, but we can all contribute to putting a drop in the bucket to make the world over in Armenia a little bit easier, a little bit better. And that's how the community helps. No one person, or maybe there are a handful out there who can do this, but the greater community comes together to solve the problem. That's how the diaspora helps, right? So every drop in the bucket, every bag of clothes that's dropped off here in our church to be distributed, everyone did what they could do. And that's how the community engages itself. And that's how we put another drop in the bucket to make the world a little bit better for our brothers and sisters in Armenia. I think sometimes we forget that. We want to go solve all the world problems. And let's not go there. Let's do it together, drop by drop, step by step.
Don't think that you can't make a difference just because you're one person or might not have the financial means. Everyone can do something to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. That was so eloquent. I'm in awe. That was exactly an excellent analogy of, one drop in the bucket, getting it done.
That was so well put that you pretty much answered our signature question, which is what can people do to get involved? So you mentioned that your parish and your community is raising money for firewood. Is there a way that listeners can donate to that? Or if there's any other advice you might have for people to get involved?
Well, we talked about our Lenten drive and how we honestly, when we announced it, we came back and we said, we'd really like to help. We've seen this need for firewood. Maybe we can raise enough for maybe 10 families. That was our goal. And we now are probably close to over 200 families that we can help. They can certainly donate to the firewood. I not trying to make this a commercial for the Potos Foundation, but I know that there are many ways of contributing. And we've talked a little bit about a phase three. Phase one was the clothing drive. Phase two is raising these funds for firewood. And on Sunday, when we spoke to the community, we hinted at, we're preparing for phase three. And phase three, we want to work on, we've heard about food packs that you're putting together. And so we want to find ways to contribute to the food packs. So really, I just think that people need to find there's so many Armenian causes, and find a cause that speaks to you. We had an anonymous donor who matched our donations, which is why he was willing to raise, to match the 10,000 due a matching donation. And we gave him other options. We talked about the need for, for an appliances or to help build a home. And this spoke to him. He said, knowing that I can make a difference just to keep people's homes warm, that spoke to him. So you need to find something that speaks to you, that you're passionate about, and find a way to help that project, whether it's giving money, whether it's volunteering, whether it's finding additional resources, whether it's spreading the news or spreading the word about it. Just find a way to make a difference in a way that speaks to you.
What I love about this is we don't know the names or the faces of the people being benefiting from this. And that makes it all the more special. You don't need to know the names of the faces. You know you're doing something good for another human being, another family, for mankind on the other side of the world. And that's putting our faith into action. It doesn't matter who gets the credit for it. You do what you can do, and we embedded the lives of others. And I think that's just living out our faith and staying true to who we are as Armenian Christians. What you're doing is amazing. Keep it up. I wish other organizations would follow suit, but what you're doing, what we saw firsthand that you do there in Armenia, is just absolutely inspiring. So please keep it up, and don't be ashamed to promote yourself, because I think we could all learn from what you're doing.
Thank you. I really do see our work as a bridge between the diaspora and the homeland. And, we just try to stick all this stuff together and keep the bridge connected to the best of our ability. And it's partnerships and it's friends and it's these kinds of efforts that really make this kind of bridge successful. So, thank you both for what you did, and thank your parishioners for all the good that was done both then and is continuing into the future now. So this has been just amazing.
Thank you to all of our listeners. We hope you have a great day.